We need the Lord. Amen. Always. Joan is going to be speaking in just a minute, but I just want to give just a thanks to you all for being with us all these many years. We began the ministry in 2001, and you all have been with us since then. Actually, a little bit before, but crossing borders since 2001. And we praise the Lord for you guys. We know you pray for us, and we know that you are with us. You are a part of our ministry, a very vital part. And I was thinking, and I think you're the only church that participates in everything Crossing Borders does. You help with the school supplies, you help with Christmas, you help buy the rice and the beans, you help support us as missionaries. You do everything. And it's just, it's awesome. And we just, we thank you, and you are our family, and we count on you guys. And we really know that you are a praying church, and that you guys lift us up, and we feel it. And you all are very dear friends to us, and you're our family forever and ever. Amen. Brother Enrique sends his hello, and that he loves you all also. You all help support him. And he just can't fathom that you all would do this. And he wants to come visit you all so badly. And he probably will pretty soon. But he's been with us for 4 years now. And you all have lifted him up. And you've gone through the ups and downs with him as well. And so thank you. Thank you. Well done. Good and faithful servants. And we love you guys. And so, Joan, you want to speak?
Sure.
All right.
Just want to touch on, since Elfie mentioned Pastor Enrique, I do want to ask you all to be in a special season of prayer when you remember him. As you know, he came over here because of the violence in Mexico, and he came over here seeking asylum, and he's been going through that asylum process for the last 4 years. And because of different things, some of you may recall our government shut down last year or year before, and it pushed everybody's court dates, immigration court dates, it pushed them back by at least a year. So he and his family on June 27th will have their final court date before an immigration judge to determine whether or not they will be granted full residency here. So we believe that God sent him in the season that he did for a time and a purpose that God had appointed for him. We are seeking the Lord and ask you to seek with us. For the Lord, who is over all authority and over all government, that he will move in mercy on behalf of the Ornelas family, so that the judge who hears them on the day, June 27th, the day that judge hears their case, that the judge will have the heart of God and will move in the fairness of God and not harden his heart toward some other political agenda. So they have been in the process. They have been at no time illegal. They have been legal their whole time. Some people ask us that question. So at no time have they ever had illegal status. They have been legal from day one when they came across 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago now. So please be in prayer for us. They have confidence that the Lord will do what is right, but they're a little unsure that what is right before the Lord is for them to stay. So they're uneasy and they're nervous about it. And because they hear so many things that are very skewed in the news. And so please pray for them that they also will have peace in their hearts concerning this. The pastors have come to very much rely on Pastor Enrique being our pastor at First Baptist in Fabens, because they all have his telephone number. They can communicate well with him, and when they have an emergency or for some reason they weren't able to cross on a Tuesday to come and receive whatever we have prepared for them in addition to the beans and rice. They can always call Pastor Enrique and say, can I come Wednesday or Thursday? Would it be all right? And Enrique arranges for them to be able to come. So he's helped us to be able to help the pastors even more so. They do continue to be harassed by their own customs officials as they cross back in when they take beans and rice and whatever we send with them, whether it's groceries, school supplies, Christmas boxes, blankets and coats in the winter, flip-flops for the summer. You know, kids love to wear flip-flops, and over there they really treat them like shower shoes. So they're not just a fun thing to wear, they're a needful thing to wear in Mexico. And so the prayers that you cover the pastors with continues to keep them encouraged and continues to keep them crossing. And we have had two who are too fearful now to cross because they've been threatened that the next time you cross with anything, we're going to take your vehicle and so forth and so on. And it makes them fearful. And so we have two who dropped out of our weekly program. They still come once in a while when they feel a little bit of courage on them. But, you know, God, he's always working. And the two that dropped out, we had two more that approached us and said, may we begin to receive beans and rice. So it's like, well, we've got enough, so sure. The Lord's been so faithful. We've never had to refuse a pastor that has come to us looking for a way to help his people in his community. For those that aren't as aware of what how we operate as Crossing Borders, Elfie and I work year-round, staying in contact with our family of churches, just like yourselves, keeping you informed of what all's going on the border and what God's laid on your heart to be able to do and to gather and to send our direction. We collect it all. We prepare it so that every Tuesday between 9 a.m. and 12 noon, the pastors come across down at Fabens. There is a crossing. They come across. They pick up whatever we have for them, which is usually more than they feel comfortable taking. So we load them just as full as they are willing to brave a cross back. And now, and those who've been down to our Fabens Bridge, Bundys, who know that well, because they are harassed so much at the Fabens crossing by the Mexican officials, they drive the extra miles up to the Zaragoza Bridge and will cross that way and then drive back down into the valley just because it's less hassle. And that's, you know, it's... And with the gasoline prices, so much more in Mexico than here, it makes it very difficult for them. It's just an extra hardship on them. But we thank you when you pray for them, and we continue to encourage them. And that brings me to this Bible. Before we ever took care of our first pastor, as we began to let the Lord lead us in forming Crossing Borders, Elfie sat down and she wrote a vision statement. And within that vision statement, it was that our mission is to serve, encourage, and release faith in the needy and less fortunate. And from time to time, we will have someone who says, well, what is that? How do you support and encourage faith in somebody? Faith is either you have faith from God or you don't have faith. And this is a New Living Version. If you read it in another version, it's not going to read exactly the same. Some versions, yes. But it's just an interesting scripture that Elfie stumbled into, shared it with me, and everything old is new again. This was a scripture we came upon in a New Living Version a number of years ago, toward the beginning of the ministry. And it's Titus chapter 1 in verse 1. and it reads in whole in the New Living Version. This letter is from Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And this next part is our answer to how do you encourage and support and release faith in people. This version reads, I have been sent to bring faith to those God has chosen and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. This truth gives them the confidence of eternal life, which God promised them before the world began, and He cannot lie. We receive faith from the Lord. Our salvation comes from the Lord. Our faith comes from the Lord. But as all of us know, there come times when that is why we are to be together in unity as one body in Christ. Because the different parts of the body encourage one another, support one another. And in that we do together, it releases that faith that is within us. And it rises back up and gains strength and gains that boldness yet again, one more time to rise and to press forward. And that is what God has called us to do. A lot of people think of us as a food distribution ministry, which we are. A lot of people think of us as girls who sing, which we do. But our real calling and the purpose of Crossing Borders is to be those hands that lift up the arms of these pastors and missionaries, the men and the women who are serving not for personal gain, because they definitely are not becoming wealthy as pastors along the border in Mexico. They do it for the glory of God and for the deep calling that's in their hearts. So we come beside them, and all of you join us in that, as we come beside these pastors, lift them up, and help them to keep moving in what God has appointed for them to do. It is a hard place that they work. It is a difficult place that they work. There is never enough. Whatever they are able to cross, there is always another mouth they could find to feed. So they also make difficult choices week in and week out on which family needs it the most this week. And so we pray for them, we pray with them, and we know you do that as well. And in these 16 years that we have walked with these pastors, it has been a blessing to walk with them through their joys, to cry with them in their sorrows, to feel the same frustration that they feel, which also is a fulfillment of Scripture, that we weep with those who weep and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And we walk beside these men and these women, and we are the unseen behind them, because the whole structure of the ministry is not about Americans helping the poor. It is about pastors serving in difficult and poor communities whom God provides for through this great network that He has established of Crossing Borders. And it's a different philosophy than some people practice, but yet it's been an important foundation stone from the beginning of Crossing Borders, that we are behind the scenes, and you are behind the scenes behind our scenes, so that the glory goes to God.
Amen.
That all of the provision that comes through, and a lot has poured through in 16 years, all this provision that has poured through, the people see it coming from the hand of their pastor, who also has to go and get a regular job in addition to pastoring his church, because the church cannot afford to pay him as a pastor. So they see the struggles and the hardships that the pastor has, and yet all this provision comes through this pastor, and God gets the glory.
Hallelujah.
And that is the right structure, we believe, and it is our philosophy from the beginning. That is how it is supposed to be. God gets the glory. We get the benefit and the joy of being able to do impossible and mighty things that we could have never conceived of when we began in 2001. We no idea when we even had our mission statement written out. We had no idea how that would look. But God knew. He is always working. He is always going before us. And He always has a plan in place. We just have to catch up to Him on occasion. So that is the biggest update that I know. I on a personal note, I want to thank you all that prayed for me and my family as we went through the passing of my dad. Just want to share again on a personal note, this coming Monday, my sister, who has been in a nursing facility because she's a stroke victim, she is going to undergo surgery for kidney stones on Monday, but the stones are too large, so they're doing the procedure where they go in with the little microscope and the little thingies through her back, and they're going to try to ultrasonically break up these large stones and then try to suction them out. So hopefully, the Lord willing and His hand through the hands of these doctors, that they will not miss a stone or cause her additional affliction to her body. And so the family's been very concerned about that as well. We, you know, said goodbye to my dad. We know he's happy and fine and singing with the angels. And but now we are concerned for my sister. So I appreciate if you pray for her. Her name is Tina. And she has not always walked closely with the Lord, but these circumstances, of course, the Lord uses even these things to draw us nearer to Him. And it is having that effect, drawing her nearer, knowing she needs to look to Him. And so even in this, I'm grateful. So we thank you. We love you, as Elfie said. And
look, I don't have any questions.
Okay. I don't know if we've gone over the time that we want to put.
We have like 1 minute.
We have 1 minute, Elfie said. So if there is some burning questions that we haven't managed to, you know, touch on, we are here to answer almost any question. If we don't know the answer, we'll get it for you. So anybody.
Yay.
We must have done very well.
God bless you guys.
God bless you.
And as Pastor comes forward, I just want to do a special shout out. I do thank the Bundys. I thank the Lackeys. I thank the Tysons. You guys have walked beside us in very special ways. And you just are very dear to us. So it's nice to give you a shout out.
Thank you all so much. We know the passage. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And as we minister through Crossing Borders and New Tribes Missions, now Ethnos 360, that's part of doing that. And so it's an answer to prayer to have y'all come and share with us. Why don't y'all, if you want to, take a stand-up break for a minute. You don't have to, but if you want to, stand and stretch. Ace is going to come, and I just have to tell you, Ace and his family, they have a busy schedule. You know, they don't have a lot of time, slack time, but by choice, they choose to come and spend 4 days with us. And do what?
Even on the right weekend.
Even on the right weekend this year. And so anyway, we count that a privilege that they would come and spend their time with us. Pretty unusual, and we appreciate it. We could tell stories about Ace, but we won't. So, Jake is going to come and pray for you specifically, Ace, as you speak. You know, I've been around Ace enough to know that when Ace shares, he doesn't take it lightly. He wants to speak what the Lord wants him to speak. So, Ace, we're going to pray that you'll do just that.
Please join me in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for the good report from Crossing Borders, for all that you have accomplished through Joan and Elfie and their extended time ministering down in the border country. Thank you also for Ace and Angie that they could be here with us this weekend with their family and bring us another report of what you're doing in a totally different way in a quite different series of places. Lord, I pray that as we hear from these missionaries, you wouldn't allow us to think of them on the front lines and us somewhere else, but that you would make known to us that the front lines are everywhere, that the gospel needs proclaimed through the whole world. That we have opportunities that we're not taking advantage of, Lord. I pray that you would convict us of that. And I pray that some of the zeal we see here tonight and the affection for serving you that we witness in these servants who are in the full-time business of making you known would rub off on us, Lord, and that we would be encouraged to reach out and to go into all the world proclaiming your good news. In Christ's name, amen. Good evening. Thank you for having us. I have some God stories I'd like to share with you guys tonight that are pretty exciting to me. I'm going to start with what our church back home has been going through Hebrews, and I had the privilege and opportunity to share from Hebrews chapter 8, which talks about the comparing the old covenant and the new covenant. It compares where we're at now with what we have to come, and how much more awesome the new covenant is with the old covenant, and how much more awesome our relationship with God will be in heaven than it is now. Right now we're broken people, and we still have the flesh, and there's always this continual diversion from our main target. In heaven, that will not be the case, and all of our energies and focuses will be aligned in the same direction of worshiping and honoring God. There's types in the Old Testament that are examples of Christ. And I shared in church a couple weeks ago, I held up a picture of the Grand Canyon. I said, there, see, I've shown you a picture of the Grand Canyon. You don't need to see. You don't actually have to drive over there to the Grand Canyon. What a waste of time. You don't have to deal with the traffic and the heat and the crowds. 4 million people see the Grand Canyon every year. What a hassle. Here, I've shown you a picture. You can check that box off your bucket list. And obviously, I'm being facetious. The Grand Canyon in all of its majesty can only be described if you stand there and look at it with your own two eyeballs. So it is. The stories that I share tonight are just a small sampling, a type, if you will, of a much greater story that's going on around the world. But I'll try and share and summarize a few things. I'd like to tell you a story of some missionaries in the Philippines that we at NTM Aviation were able to help. But then I'll go chronologically through this. Let's start about 8 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, a young family went to the Philippines to bring the gospel to a group of people that their language had never been recorded before. Their language had never been written down before. They didn't have the Bible. No one had taught them about the Lord. But to get from town to where they were at, I might have shared this part of the story with you a couple years ago. Forgive me if this is a small repeat. But for them to go from where they lived, if you will, to the people was an arduous trip. They would get in their four-wheel drive Jeep with big mud tires and put it in granny low and go up the stream through the mud and get stuck several times and use a winch to get their Jeep out of the mud. They would start at 6 o'clock in the morning and the sun would rise and the sun would cross the sky, and 14 or 16 hours later they would call it a day after driving as far as they could in a Jeep through the mud. And then they would camp out alongside their Jeep, and they couldn't take the Jeep any further, so they would take their groceries and put it on a backpack, and they would hike up the mountain, and they would go down the other side, and they would cross the stream and hike up the mountain again. And they would, after 2 14-hour days, they would arrive exhausted and weary, and the next day they'd be sore. But then they had enough groceries for them to stay for 5 or 6 days, and then they would do the trip in reverse. This was 7 or 8 years ago. And we at NTMA heard about this. We said, we'd like to help you guys out and other ministries like you guys in the area. Can we bring a helicopter to help you guys out? And they said, sure. I'm not sure what the impact would be, but let's trust the Lord and see what would happen. So we put the the word out. God provided the helicopter, and we put the helicopter in a container and shipped it to the Philippines 6 years ago as an experiment to see how this would work out. We met them there. We got the helicopter flying. And the first trip out there, we loaded up the couple and much more groceries than they'd ever been able to take before into this little tiny helicopter. And they flew across and landed in 8 minutes. So they went from 2 huge days of travel to 8 minutes, and they were ready to work. They weren't sore the next day. They were ready to go. And they said, this has completely changed our ministry. Now they can bring their family into the tribe where they're bringing the gospel. People's lives were changed. There's now a standing church there. And there's missionaries that are going out from that group. But it's in an area where there is some Muslim hostility. They're not extremists like we see in the Middle East, but they're not real friendly to the Christians coming in. So it was an isolated little group of church, group of Christians who were being discipled and growing in God's Word. Moving forward from 6 years, 5 years, 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, there was a typhoon that went through that area, and it wiped out Davao, I'm not sure if I got the names quite right, but something like Davao and Mindanao in that area. And the world helped the larger cities. They saw the news, they saw the pictures, they sent help. But the regions where this missionary was not in the news, and it wasn't helped, and it completely wiped out the community. And one of the leaders in the government there was a believer, and he tapped our pilot on the shoulder and says, you guys have a little helicopter. Would you be willing to help us with some relief effort? And he said, we can carry 500 pounds if we don't take any people. What could we do for thousands of people? And he said, would you trust the Lord and see what we could do? So he did. And what can you bring in a helicopter? Well, they needed water, which is pretty heavy, but they could also bring nails, which a box of nails like this, maybe 20 pounds of nails, they still had the lumber scattered all about, but they needed something to put it together with. So they brought nails, and they brought water for the people, and because they were a fishing community, they brought seaweed seeds. And in weeks, they were able to get back into business and be economically viable again. And because of what that little helicopter did, in just a couple of weeks, they put 40 or 50 hours on the helicopter, not that much. The region, the whole region saw the impact of that and said, who are you guys and what's your message? Why are you guys helping us? And we said, yes, we have a message for you guys. And we'd like to share with you Jesus Christ. And they said, oh. So instead of just an opportunity to share in one little region, now dozens of regions are needing the gospel. 4 years, 3 years ago, NTM starts sending in more missionaries. But the poor little helicopter can't keep up. In fact, this helicopter has a lifespan of 2,200 hours. And then it's used up. It needs to go back for overhaul. And that, so we have to budget those hours carefully. When the new missionaries come in, then we hadn't planned on that. We need another helicopter. So we prayed about that. God provided another helicopter. And 2 years ago, we sent another helicopter over there. It, too, is an overwhelming success. It's multiplying. Last year, we reached a new threshold where 40% of the people we are flying are national missionaries. Amen. Let me say that again because that's huge. 40% of the people we're flying are national or tribal missionaries. Okay? Because God allowed churches to be planted, people will hear the word, grow, and say, our neighbors need to hear this too. And we can't get over there any better than you can. And can we use a helicopter? Well, sure, we can help you out with that. So we're flying, and actually the helicopter is working out well for the national missionaries, and this is kind of humbling. When we fly it, an expatriate North American missionary, you know, backup sounds, you know, here's the truck, and we need to load all this. He's got a freezer, he's got a refrigerator, and all of his equipment and solar panels, and okay, so he's equipped and ready to go. Well, what is the national missionary brings? A little satchel, and he's like, okay, I'm ready to go. And that just works great for a helicopter because they don't carry much. So this we got two helicopters over there. The first one is expiring. It's coming back here pretty soon, and we're going to rebuild it. The second one's over there, but now we're saying we need to replace the first one. So what are we going to use? We're looking at a turbine helicopter because the fuel is less. It carries more for less money. It's the same reason people ship stuff across the highways on semi-trucks instead of pickup trucks. Yeah, it costs less per mile to run a pickup truck, but it's more efficient to do it in a semi-truck. Does that make sense? So it is with a helicopter. If you have a little bit bigger machine, it costs less per pound to move stuff. But the bigger helicopter costs a lot more. So we prayed 2 years ago and said, look, we have a need for a helicopter in the Philippines where we can fly a little bit more people and a little bit more stuff, but this helicopter is almost $1 million. We don't have $1 million. We don't even have $50. What are we going to do? But if God wants us to do this, let's put it before Him and let Him fulfill His mission. It's not my mission. It's not NTM's mission. It's God's mission. Let's see what happens. And we prayed about it. And we wrote about it. And then a businessman who was involved in ethanol said, I love what you guys are doing, and I'd like to talk to you more about it and hear your story. And we told him a story again, and he said, well, I'd like to be a part of that. And he saw a vision bigger than what we did. We were saying, well, we need a helicopter in the Philippines so that we can fly those guys there. He said, well, how are you going to train the guys to fly the helicopter? And we said, well, we haven't thought about that yet. He says, okay, I'm going to buy you guys two helicopters. What in the world? Last fall, one in October, one in December, two helicopters flew into our hangar. And we worked through Christmas break. I was working Christmas afternoon. I was working the next day, Christmas Eve. And us five guys, we were burning the midnight oil so we could get that stripped, painted, putting the avionics in it, painting the blades, getting it all ready to go. And then time came, and we took it all apart, stuffed it into a shipping container, and it left in early April. The cool thing is it just cleared customs June 1, and we sent a helicopter instructor over there 2 days ago. He flew over there. He's probably there now figuring out the time zone problem, and now he's, this coming week, Monday, he's going to be flying with those guys, getting them orientated in that helicopter so they can fly safely over there. That's what we're up to today. I just wanted to share God's story. I want to share, listen to this. This is your story because you're part of this. I want to say thank you. Thank you for being part of this story. Just like the picture of the Grand Canyon, this is a small little snapshot of what's happening. And I would invite any of you guys, like you guys have enjoyed when people come down and help you guys on scene. Come down and visit NTM Aviation, and we'd love to spend more time showing you what God's doing there. We have an RV park and hookups and whatnot. We're looking for some folks to help up with some of the facilities needs. The grass looks like it is around here, around our homes. We need someone who can do some push a lawnmower or whatever. Or just come and visit. That'd be cool too. So the invitation is for you to come. Pray for us because we're looking for more people. This ministry is expanding as the places where the gospel is reaching is getting harder and harder to reach. Imagine coming up to the campground here. If we didn't have this road, what's the road that goes down to La Luz called?
82.
If 82 didn't exist, how would we get up to the campground? What if there was people up here that needed the word and you guys were down in La Luz? Would you take the arduous trip of climbing up this mountain to visit them? That's what the NTM missionaries are doing. But we're using a helicopter to do it. Okay? And that's becoming more and more common as we're reaching further and further in the world. We're looking into going into northern Canada. We're looking into going into Central Asia. I'm not supposed to say places of them in public quite yet, but we're looking into going to some sensitive areas also. We're changing our name from NTM, New Tribes Mission, to Ethnos 360. The reason for that is when we go into countries and we have mission on our shirt, sometimes the government, often actually, government officials say, we're not interested in mission work, okay? But if we come across as a little bit more humanitarian aid, not that we're being deceitful, because we do help with beans and rice and other things, medical. But our core purpose is discipleship. And we can't put discipleship on our visa application. That doesn't work. That will not work, okay? So changing the name helps us out. Another thing is new tribes. Tribes is a little bit of a, becoming a little bit of a sensitive name for some of the people we're trying to reach. They don't think of themselves as a tribe. I don't think of myself as a tribe. Well, maybe my family, but they don't either, okay? They're just people out there like you and I, and they need the Lord. So they're a people group. So we're looking at Ethnos 360. Ethnos is a Greek word for a nation or a people group or a people with a common language, common type of people. So if you know Greek a little bit, that's where that comes from. And 360 represents the global perspective of the task, the vision. Let's see. A little bit about the family. Some updates in the last 2 years. We kids are growing up, going through high school, homeschooling. Piper's doing a little bit of college work in town, community college. We've been, they asked me to be the director of the shop there, so that's kind of fun. Yeah, what else to share? Let's go with questions.
Did you go to Papa McKinney?
Oh, that was fun, too. we'll talk about that.
Okay.
So, 2 years ago, we were sending a Kodiak or two. Kodiak's a 750-horse single-engine turbine aircraft with 9 seats. We'll have 10, but the pilot always wants one. We sent 3 of those to Papua New Guinea, and that was good. Then they said, we're having trouble knowing where these airplanes are at all the time. They fly and we lose radar contact, we lose communication because of radio, because of the mountains and whatnot. So developed a system that sends position and altitude and direction and engine and oil temperatures and all this technical boring stuff and puts it into a text message, sends it up to the Iridium satellites, which bounces it down to a website. And so we can have a guy looking at a computer screen and keeping track of where the planes are to within 90 seconds. It gives 1 minute updates, and within 2 minutes you can see exactly where each of those planes are at any time and what their condition is, health, fuel on board, and all this stuff. Works out great. So somebody needed to put that in those airplanes. They didn't have anybody there that was able to do that, so they asked me to do that. So I went over there, brought Ange because it was a one-month project, left the kids at home. They were still there when we got back. That was good. So that was a good trip. I brought a white notebook to share, expand some of these stories. It's kicking around here somewhere. So if you're sitting around the table, there it is. Enjoy the book. Take a look and read and see what's going on. Again, it's summaries. Any questions? Thank you all. Go ahead.
What parts of the world are y'all in?
NTM is in about 35 or 40 different countries. NTM Aviation is in 5 different countries. Philippines in 3 different locations. Indonesia in 2 different locations. Papua New Guinea throughout the country. We're in Brazil, and we're expanding in Brazil. Brazil is an amazing opportunity right now. In the upper Amazon by Peru, they're 5 years ago, they sent out a survey trip. 3 young men with more ambition than me went up there, and they were gone for nearly a month, and they came back, and they said, we found 18 new people groups that have never been recorded before by anthropologists or National Geographic or anything. Never before have been heard of. 18 people groups, and the people that they're reporting to said, wow, you know, several hundred people. They're like, no. The smallest one was 5,000. The biggest one was 1.5 million.
Wow.
Huge amounts of people back there living under triple canopy forests that had never been documented before. They'd never seen a match, they'd never seen a machete, all this was new to them. They had no idea. So NTM says, well, let's send missionaries up in that region and help them hear the gospel. But to get there is really difficult. There's rules in Brazil that if you have a runway, it has to be a licensed runway. To get a runway license, it has to have, there's several books to meet the criteria. It's got to have a 6-foot fence, it's got to have certified security guards, you got to have TSA, you got to have this and this and this just to have a runway out there. We can't, there's no way we can do that. And then, but if we have a helicopter out there, well, how does that work? Well, you can land a helicopter anywhere. We don't care about those things. So we're going to go with helicopters. We're sending helicopters down to Brazil. There's national Brazilian missionaries who want to go there, but they can't get there. There's just no way to do it. So we're looking at expanding into Brazil as possibly being one of our largest fields. Using helicopters, and we'll probably have another Kodiak to support it. So this is kind of a 3 to 4 year vision. We'll see how that works out. We're also looking at going into Canada, and that's front and center too. There's people groups in northern Canada that don't have the gospel, and I spent some time up there in 1992. God allowed me to do some mission work up there, and I was amazed at how, I was going to say how dark it was half the year, but that, those people are very needing, very much needing the Lord. It's the suicide rate, the alcohol abuse, it's a huge opportunity. The fields are ripe on the harvest in so many places. So we're looking to go into Canada. We're actually going to be taking a trip up there to survey the area and see how that would logistically work out in August. I might be a part of that. Prayer request for the Glidewells. Pray for the mission. We're really needing more people. The Glidewells are really busy. It seems like if things break, it ends up on our doorstep to fix. I'm overwhelmed. We're looking for capable people. Let's see. We're looking for more churches to share these stories with. We're at 55-60% of ideal. And if we had some other churches who could partner with us and join our team, that would be pretty cool.
Can you explain New Tribes Aviation name? Because you know what I'm talking about. We're not at shows yet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So NTM Aviation is a department, a small department, if you will, of Ethnos 360. But NTM Aviation is not changing our name yet. We're still looking at how that's going to be. We might be Ethnos Air or Ethnos Aviation or something else altogether, so we're working on that. We might have to figure out what we're going to put on the shirt. Any other questions? Thank you so much, each one of you. You've been a huge blessing. We hope to see some of you come down and visit NTM Aviation sometime in the next year. That'd be cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ace. So in that scripture that we know, go and make disciples of all nations. The word nations in the Greek language in which it was written, it is the word ethnos. It's the people group. So that's a very biblical name that the whole organization has taken. So Ace was talking to me about it. Let me reemphasize what he just said to us. He would like to see, in the next 12 months, he would like to see some of us come out to their location. And I told him, I said, well, that's a real possibility. We took a little trip over to Winston, New Mexico on a Sunday afternoon last year and came back the same day. I don't think we could go to there in McNeil. I don't think we could go there and back Sunday afternoon, but we might do it in a couple days. So let's be praying about that. I think that would be a blessing.